Hello, all you lovely boaters out there. It's been a while, but I'm back. That's right, you're listening to A Bigger Boat Presents Tyler's Film Review. So I've got three for you today. Normally, obviously, it's the two reviews, but I've had a very busy weekend at the cinema. So first, we'll be looking at Tammy, the new Melissa McCarthy film. Of course, she always makes me laugh, so I was looking forward to that very much. Then How to Train Your Dragon 2, which was an unexpected film that I got to see at the weekend. And then, of course, Transformers Age of Extinction, as you know, Michael Bay's latest attempt to anger and infuriate and bore me with as much action as he can. So sit back, relax, and enjoy A Bigger Boat Presents Tyler's Film Review. Well, it's been a long time, but I hope you're all in good health and been keeping up with the odd Facebook post for me. I must apologize first and foremost. I've been a bit distracted today by the football, the Brazil-Germany game, and I'm actually watching it right now, so it's in the 61st minute. So if you suddenly hear me scream and shout, go in surprise or get a sudden call or text message, it's about the game. But I'll try to edit that stuff out and keep it as clear as possible. Because we're here to talk about films, the latest films, the greatest films, and the not-so-great films. Of course. As I mentioned, we've got three to look at today, so it's I wouldn't call it a special, but it is pretty special for all you boaters out there. You'll hopefully get a bit extra time with me, or I could try and fit it into the usual half hour slot. We'll see either way. So first off, we're going to have a look at the latest Melissa McCarthy film, which is entitled Tammy. So, what to say about Tammy? I guess the first place to start is a little synopsis about the film, as usual. So Tammy is I guess what's the word? A project between Melissa McCarthy and her other half, or husband, I guess. I'm not sure if they're married. Ben Falcone, and they wrote this together. And I guess it's kind of their labor of love and a comedy film that they've tried, to really pull to the forefront, and something that with a bit of success now. Melissa McCarthy's been given the reins to kind of do what she wants, although it's a very similar character to that as she normally plays. So the film's about a lady named Tammy, as you can guess, and unfortunately after losing her job and catching her husband with another woman, she's just had enough, and she just wants to get away from the small town she lives in. In this small town, she's always been trying to escape, but she's your typical kind of Her bark's bigger than her bite, as I guess the way to explain her. And she's always talking about leaving and going. And finally, her kind of grandmother, who's played by Susan Sarandon, actually, is Susan Sarandon. She kind of steps up and says, "You know what? Jump in my car. We're going. I've got cash. I've got drink. let's go have a fun road trip." So it's it is a road trip film, but I don't know if that's the best way to describe it. So the film is pretty much based around these two characters and their relationship with each other, that both them wanting to kind of escape from their everyday life. I think the thing that really stands out for me is the way Susan Sarandon, obviously the grandmother, I think, is trying to escape maybe old age, whereas Tammy just doesn't know what she wants for her life, and she's very much keen to just complain about her raw deal, essentially, and not really do much about it. I guess the first thing to say about the film is, for me, I thought, I going into it, I really want it to be something that I really enjoyed. I'm a fan of Melissa McCarthy, and she's done some great things. I think I very much enjoyed her in Bridesmaids. She's really good in that. And of course, The Heat, if you've seen it, I watched that recently, is it's a really funny watch. I've never really seen anything like Michael Molly that she's in. Obviously, she's done a lot of TV things, and Identity Theft, I, to be honest, wasn't too keen on. But there's a few films which warranted some excitement for this. So going into it, and as I really like her, I want to really enjoy it. Now, I'd say first and foremost is I probably was a bit disappointed with it, because I think there's elements to it that it could have been a lot stronger. There's some bits which are kind of you know, a bit, you give you a bit of a chuckle, and there's some funny moments, but nothing that really gives you those kind of big belly laughs throughout, and those really, you know, good, just good comical bits that you'd expect in a film with her. And at the same time, I don't think the storyline was as strong as it could have been either. But I do think there's some really kind of great bits in there that I've heard complained about, but I think were part of the comedy of it, such as when you see Tammy, her mom, and Susan Sarandon. You know, there's three generations there in one scene, and it seems like the joke there is they all seem like there could have been maybe 20 years between the three of them in terms of age. But that, I think that's fine. Some people have looked at that and gone, oh, you know, it's that's a downfall of it. And you know, those little things, it's a comedy film, isn't the issue for me. I think what you get is they've tried to kind of be a bit more dramatic than just go for all that comedy throughout this film by looking at Tammy and her grandmother's relationship with each other and how it develops, and not only looking forward to how the relationship together, but also looking backwards to how it was in the past. And it deals with kind of issues with Tammy, sort of like abandonment and dealing with life in general. But yeah, it did make me laugh at points, but to be honest, I kind of went away feeling a bit shortchanged, like I should have got some more out of it than I actually did. So in one of my, probably my biggest kind of gripe with the film is, in terms of the funny scenes, I think the funniest scene, or the one that had potential to be the funniest in the film, was the one used in the advert. So obviously it's not a spoiler saying the advert. It basically doesn't really give away much about the movie. It shows this lady, you know, kind of in the car, who's Gangsters of Paradise, playing by Coolio. She pretends to have a gun in her hand, which is covered by a paper bag, puts a paper bag on, and robs a restaurant. Now, in the film, they use the exact same scene, except they kind of change the music and tweak some of the lines from the advert. And actually, I found the advert, the way it was set out, was much funnier than it was in the film. And I think it's a big disappointment, because they have essentially included one of the biggest comedy set pieces for people to see in the cinema. And actually, for me, some of these set pieces almost makes it out to be like a bit of a sketch show, in essence, because it's giving you these little bits of comedy that are quite funny, but in terms of the over storyline, you know, it doesn't necessarily enrich it that much more, apart from that one scene, which is, you know, essential to the movie. It's got quite a good cast as well. Kathy Bates is in it, who I like Kathy Bates, especially in The Office, and she's a great character. And of course, Dan Aykroyd's in it at the end, with a bit of a cameo. And you know, for what it is, I think it's the type of movie which you could put on a Saturday evening when you're just staying in maybe with a takeaway and you just want kind of a no-brainer, which isn't gonna make you think too much. You'll get a couple laughs out of it, but to be honest I probably wouldn't recommend necessarily going to pay for it, especially with some of the other up-and-coming films that are going to be available in the cinema soon going up against it. So I'd say I would place it as better than Identity Thief in terms of, you know, comedic value and entertainment. However, I wouldn't say it's as good as The Heat with Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock, for example. What I'd say is, like, you know, if you like Melissa McCarthy, you know, and Susan Sarandon and people like that, you may get the most of it. But unfortunately, like I said, I left the cinema feeling a bit shortchanged in that it could have done more. Not terrible, but not a classic kind of film by any means. Well, I guess I ran through that fairly quick, but I guess there's not a lot to say. A few things I could add is, in terms of running time, it's not an extremely long film. It's only 96 minutes. So that, you know, again, in a time when we're complaining about too many movies are focused on just being as long as they can and jamming as much as they can, that's one thing I could say is it didn't feel like a movie that was giving us too much, and the pace of it and the timing was very well. So that's my review of Tammy. Given how quick that went, I think we're going to have a little look at How to Train Your Dragon 2.
This is Burke. Life here is amazing. Dragons used to be a bit of a problem. but now they've all moved in.
Did I tell you that you look amazing today? Because you do.
And with Vikings on the backs of dragons, the world just got a whole lot bigger.
This is amazing!
What happened here?
What could have done this?
I bet you think you know a lot about dragons. Let me show you some of what you don't know.
Should I know you?
No. You were only a babe. But a mother never forgets.
And of course, that sound clip leads us straight into How to Train Your Dragon 2. So, I must admit, first and foremost, I have not seen How to Train Your Dragon. I have heard good things about it, only since I saw the second one and got speaking to people who I hadn't known seen the first one, and I've heard very good things. The first thing I'll say is that it's obviously the first one something I want to see. Now, this is completely unexpected, going to see How to Train Your Dragon 2, and it wasn't something I necessarily had an interest in going to see at the start of the week, looking at the films that were out. But last weekend it was Mother House birthday, and she's basically getting her hair done, and I was driving around, and I had a few hours to kill, so I thought, do you know what, I'm going to pop down to the cinema and see what's showing. And the only film that really aligned with the times I had was How to Train Your Dragon 2. Now, the cinema is very full of children. I was a bit worried at the start. You may have saw the picture on Facebook. I was worried they'd be quite noisy, so I sat right at the front, quite on my own. But they're quiet, which is fantastic. So they seem very engrossed in the film, which is probably the first compliment I could pay it. However, maybe I should let you know what it's about first. So, How to Train Your Dragon 2 picks up from Hiccup and Toothless, obviously the main protagonist of the first film. So my understanding of the first film, and I could be wrong, but having looked into it afterwards, seems to be that it's based around the idea of Vikings and dragons being enemies. And Hiccup, the main character, who's actually voiced by Jay Baruchel, I can never pronounce his name right, he essentially becomes friends with this dragon Toothless, and I guess the idea behind the film is convincing everyone within his town that dragons are actually really intelligent creatures that that won't harm you as long as you get along with them. So it's quite a good message there in terms of people getting along with nature. So this film picks up in the Viking kind of caves and Viking lands or whatever, where they're all flying dragons and live in harmony with them. But Hiccup and Toothless very much want to travel and discover new lands, and that takes them, around various adventures, essentially. And the big thing is that Hiccup's coming to terms with the idea that it's now his time to kind of take over as the leader of the Vikings, but he doesn't quite feel ready. Now, amongst these journeys, they discover they find out about other dragon riders through discovering dragon trappers, who are obviously the baddies. Now, as you can hear in that sound clip, there's a Hiccup comes across more than he was bargaining for when he goes to discovering these new lands, and it leads to your standard kind of battles and trials and whatnot within the film. Now, first and foremost, I would say I thought this movie was fantastic and possibly one of the best animated films I've seen in a long time. I was very much engrossed in it from the very start. And like I said, the cinema is dead quiet and it was full of children. So that speaks wonders in itself, that there was no one running around or anything. They're quite engrossed in the film. It was really great fun. And I think you have such a good good mix. It's an animation, action, adventure. There's a good amount of drama in there and some really good messages in terms of, getting along with nature and treating animals well. At the same time, there's some good family messages in there as well, which is really, really cool. I think the storyline for a family film is probably one of the most solid storylines I've seen in a film in such a long time, in terms of the progression of it, the characters introduced, and what happens within it, and as well as the kind of the kind of dramatics behind it as well, especially when it comes to kind of family and stuff. And I imagine with the family elements, you know, there's stuff that kind of touches on, I suppose, with parents being separated and stuff like that in a way, which I think we've probably hit home with a lot of kids, and it's quite interesting how it tackles that subject. But I think it does it really well, and it's fantastic in that regard. I think it just you know, without giving too much away, I suppose it could pull on some people's heartstrings, while at the same time really touching others in less of a sad way, but more of a happy way as well. It's good. Like I say, it's good fun. There's some good action, but there's also some good comedy bits in there as well. You know, I had a few chuckles to myself. I wouldn't say it's like going to watch something like Anchorman or something like that, but it still has some really good funny moments in it. And in terms of funny moments, I put up there was something like Toy Story or Monsters, Inc., which obviously says a lot in terms of a family film. Additionally, it is... sorry, I've got a bit of a sore throat today, so I'm trying to keep away from the mic when I'm coughing. The animation, yes. In terms of the animation, this is hands down probably the best animated family film I've ever seen. If you get the chance, you know, have a look at the adverts on the internet, and you can see the colors are really clean and crisp. The scenery looks amazing, and I think I saw this one in 2D, and my impression of it is that actually, as a film, you want to see it in 2D to get the full vivid colors. I think if you put on 3D glasses, you're going to lose a lot more than you gain during this movie, which is obviously something to take into consideration, because if you're losing a lot, you know, it kind of takes away from the hard work the animators put into the film to make sure they look as fantastic as they do. But yeah, so to summarize, you know, How to Train Your Dragon 2 is a very, you know, pleasant surprise, a really good watch. I think if you're looking for something to do with the family this weekend, go get the kids, take them to see this film, and they will absolutely enjoy it. I'll be very surprised if they didn't. I'm going to go away and watch the first one, because I've heard it's very good. And, you know, I'll by all means be checking this out again, probably when it comes out, because I enjoy it a lot. So yeah, to summarize, How to Train Your Dragon 2. So, you know, it's great fun, solid storyline, has a bit in there for, you know, both adults and children alike, and the animation is absolutely fantastic. And don't forget, see it in 2D to make sure you see all the vivid colors and everything, and really get the most out of it. Also, in terms of length, it's worth adding. It's about 140 minutes long, so it's not too long. And again, like I said, to keep a bunch of children's attention for 140 minutes is no mean feat, so that's a win for the film in itself. So yeah, How to Train Your Dragon 2. I hope that's encouraged you to see it. Otherwise, I guess next up we've got the pick of the week, and I'm absolutely flying through the reviews today. I think it's because I've not taken too many notes on everything, and I've seen so many films, and I suppose it's leaving me a bit of time to talk about Transformers Age of Extinction. I don't know how long we're going to really want to talk about that film, but you'll find out more about that in a second. So in the meantime, I think maybe I'm going to leave you with my pick of the week. Well, today's pick of the week is actually a film from the year I was born, but one film very close to my heart, and one of my favorite adventure comedy sci-fi parodies. And if you've not guessed it by now, it is Spaceballs, the fantastic film kind of based on parodying, you know, Star Wars and stuff like that. So, of course, it has a great cast, such as including Mel Brooks, John Candy, and Rick Moranis. So what more do you need? It's got laughs throughout. Who could forget great characters such as the powerful Yogurt and Pizza the Hut, who, you know, gets eaten and left with hungry teenagers. So, yeah, Spaceballs, check it out on Netflix.
Sanders, chicken.
Yeah, Spaceballs. What a fantastic film. That's that is one of my favorites. And you know, people like I didn't get to mention, like John Candy playing Barf, obviously instead of Chewbacca. That's it in Star Wars. And Rick Moranis as the Dark Helmet instead of Darth Vader. You know, it's really a fantastic film, and one that'll keep you laughing throughout. So yeah, it's the pick of the week. So what I'm doing now is I want to let you know. I'm gonna let you know the way this thing's working is, obviously it looks like I slack off a lot because I promise a lot of shows and never, sometimes don't deliver them. But what I'm gonna do is, I'm gonna take a break now because I've been recording for a few hours, even though it's only 20 minutes of recording you get by now. You know, there's takes and retakes and cutting and editing clips of the sound and everything like that. And I'm gonna come back tomorrow. After I do the weekly radio show at Kettering Radio Hospital, that some of you may or may not listen to, and I'm going to do my review of Transformers, because quite frankly, you know, it's 20 to midnight for me right now, and I think I couldn't possibly bear to go over it this time. So, yeah, I'm going to leave you with a clip about Transformers and be right back in a few seconds after to do the review. For me, it'll be tomorrow. For you, it'll be about 2 minutes.
Dad, he keeps spending money on junk.
I can break it down, strip it for parts. This stuff is what's going to put you through college.
Something in here needs to make this family some money. Come on, you old wreck. Judgment Day. What the hell happened to you?
Look, it's not normal steel. I don't think it's a truck at all. I think we just found a transformer.
Dad!
I'm gonna ask you this once. Where is Optimus Prime?
You know, we got a rule about messing with people from Texas.
Yeah, I that bit's not part of the advert. I added that. quite frankly, I'm struggling to think of the words to sum up how I feel about this film, and I thought only a sad trombone could help me explain that. So, of course, yes, as I said, there was a small gap. It's been days for me, but seconds for you. And so welcome to part two of A Bigger Boat Presents Tyler's Film Review. And yeah, we're talking about Transformers, Age of Extinction. So I guess the first place to start is the plot. Transformers Age of Extinction picks up after the events of Transformers, the third one. Was it Revenge of the Fallen, the third one? Let me check on that. Anyways, I think it's the third one, Revenge of the Fallen. And yeah, Dark of the Moon. So of course there's Transformers Revenge of the Fallen and Transformers Dark of the Moon. Obviously Dark of the Moon's forgettable enough for me not to remember it, but anywho, this picks up, and what it does differently obviously from the get-go is you don't have Shia LaBeouf, who's been in the last three installments. Instead you have Mark Wahlberg. So the film picks up with Marky Mark. He's a bit of a misunderstood inventor, and I guess he goes around and buys things to salvage them and whatnot. And of course, lo and behold, in a cinema, of all places, he comes across an abandoned truck, as you see in the advert, and as you heard in the clip just then, it turns out to be a transformer. And of course the government shows up, there's explosions here, there and everywhere, and it turns out to be one big scheme involving the CIA and forces deeper than you can imagine. And then there's more explosions, and then there's some sort of resolution, and you're wondering when you can go back to your everyday life. Yeah. Like I said, they've done a switch up in the cast, and the potential for that was good, because quite frankly I was a little sick of Shia LaBeouf, I like Mark Wahlberg a lot of the films he's in as well. They also have Stanley Tucci and Kelsey Grammer in this, obviously some well-known names, and not terrible performances. It's just, I feel like when you watch this film, there's a good story within it somewhere, and it gets lost amongst the other multiple twisted plot holes and additions which aren't probably necessary, and all the kind of special effects and action. And it's by no means a short film. It's 165 minutes. So it's what, 2 hours, 2 hours 45, which is a long time to be sitting and watching a film like this. And as I said at the start of the podcast, you know, Michael Bay trying to bore me to death with action. And I like action films as much as the next guy, but Christ, I'm sitting there at one point. It felt like for an hour and 20 minutes, I'd watched robots kind of blast each other over and 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 over.
There's no resolution because they keep going over and over and over and they're still blasting each other. Oh, it looks like it might just end. No, it's not quite.
And it still goes. And eventually you do get a resolution many, many hours after you feel the resolution should have happened. As I said, I feel there could be a good storyline there, and I think the of course you've got the CIA who are twisted and evil as they are in every film, and they're working with terrible forces. You've got the big corporations trying to do good, but they're actually not helping as much as you'd hoped, and then the little guy who's basically getting stomped on. So it's all kind of stereotypical. You could, like I said, the storyline, looking at it, it falls off in many different directions in terms of the baddies and the motives and what's going on. Now, at that length of film, you could easily divide this film into kind of 3 to 5 separate storylines of separate movies. And what I find disappointing, especially, and I just feel like this is probably Michael Bay's fault, because the man likes to just blow stuff up, and instead of putting really thought behind it, it feels as though there could have been something quite solid there if they looked a bit deeper and made it almost like looked at examples of films such as Pacific Rim or Real Steel, where there's a bit of heart to it and soul, and it's not just about big set pieces and large special effects. Don't get me wrong, the visuals in this film, they're really fantastic and they look amazing. And I saw it in 3D, and probably the biggest disappointment I had is the fact, because I was watching it in 3D, you lose that 30% of light. And there's a couple times just to see how it looked, especially when you have things like Bumblebee in that on screen, who, you know, at the end of the day, this is still a franchise as a child I love, so I still adore the characters in that. You know, I want to see them in all their glory. And you take off the glasses, and the visuals of them are really stunning, and some of the characters are pretty cool in terms of the Transformers they bring you. But it's just disappointing that the actual movie itself is what it is. So like I said, you get a twist about 4 different storylines, and the directions they go, it kind of feels like they're always near to a resolution to the film, but then they just throw in another weird kind of plot twist and just keep it going in a necessary length of time. I almost wish they could give this to a different director and just, you know, do a film which is a lot more about kind of the Transformers and the fact that they're, you know, dying out and battling to survive in the universe and having to work with humans to, you know, stay alive, and instead of just destroying everything for 2 hours when doing 45 minutes of talking, which is still still a lot of time to talk when you're saying nothing. In terms of let's see, I've got some notes here. Okay, opinion. I'm just looking at my little notebook. The first thing I can't read because I'm trying to keep this podcast as clean as possible, and I've written a few naughty words in my review. Okay, here's a good point. In terms of the battle scenes, there's one thing I've always wondered, and Michael Bay has done this across all films, and I've seen a lot of kind of war and action films, stuff like this, but it's something you don't see happen often, except in Transformers, and it's, why do they always roll when fighting? Now, I don't mean the way they roll when they transform or anything like that, don't get me wrong. Literally, they are constantly rolling. Like the robots, they don't move normally. They jump and flip and roll and roll and it's kind of mind blowing, and you kind of lose track of what's going on because you're watching this
this digitally rendered robot just spinning around in screen with all these wonderful mesmerizing colors, and you're like, what the hell is going on anymore? It's like some kind of bad trip. And it's just kind of mind-blowing. If you don't know what I mean, look up the advert, go to YouTube or something and look up the advert. And it's the bit actually in the soundbite I played earlier when towards the end it was like, oh, we found the robot and that. And you hear kind of the that type of stuff. he's in a barn. And how's he come over? He doesn't jump or anything. He rolls because Optimus Prime is forever rolling. like the song by Limp Bizkit. So again, like I say, I've been speaking about this for kind of eight, nine minutes now, and I don't feel like I've said a lot. There isn't a lot to say. You know, the biggest thing is, like I said, there's such long action scenes that you kind of get lost and forget what's going on. And obviously a big thing in the adverts as well is the fact there's dinosaurs in this film. I'm like, hell, Michael Bay has already tried to ruin Transformers for me. Now he's trying to do the same to dinosaurs. And, you know, you Transformer dinosaurs. You know, we all remember the, what was the show called? Beasties, the animated show. Is that called it? Beasties? Let me look it up. Beast Wars. Beast Wars, that's it, also known as Beasties. So the Transformer series, where of course there are all kind of different dinosaurs and creatures and what, like Dinobot and Optimus Primal, Cheetor, Megatron's, just name Megatron still. But it's kind of a throwback to that, and you want to be really cool, but the screen time they get is minimal, and it's such a big selling point of the film that nothing really happens with it, which is, again, kind of another disappointment. And they're just thrown in there as another little plot twist. You know, either make a film about the Transformers against the CIA, or the Transformers against Megatron, or the Transformers and these Dinobots, or the Transformers and their plight in the universe. Don't try and stuff it onto a single movie, because it's just too much to comprehend. So to summarize, because I think I've talked about this film much more than I want. You know, if you're going to see it, I would recommend seeing it in 2D, purely because, at least if you're going to watch this film, the one thing you do want to enjoy is the visuals, and I'll give it that. As terrible films Michael Bay makes, his visuals do look good with the animation of the robots and the scenery used. But yeah, you know, to sum up this film, you just go robots shooting each other and fighting and then rolling around, and then shooting each other and fighting and then rolling around, and then an evil CIA man shows up, and then some more robots roll around, shoot and fight and shoot and fight and shoot and fight and roll and shoot and fight and shoot and fight and roll. And that's Transformers Age of Extinction. If it were me, I'd probably wait till it's on DVD. But hell, I see these films, so you don't have to. Okay, so that's your lot. I apologize if it wasn't great listening this week. I know it can sometimes be difficult to raise yourself for a film you don't enjoy, but at the same time, if you see them and like them, make sure to come argue your point, because that's the great thing about film. It invokes conversation and opinion, and I love the debate, as I'm sure you all do. So this week, of course, it was Tammy, you know, good fun, not great story. How to Train Your Dragon 2, amazing film, go check it out. And Transformers Age of Extinction, yeah. And of course, Spaceballs is your pick of the week on Netflix. So this has been A Bigger Boat Presents Tyler's Film Review. I've been Tyler. I'm sure you've all been fantastic. Log into the Facebook and let me know how you are. Otherwise, I'll catch you next time.